Hey, good morning to those people who are here and to those who will be listening a little bit later. Welcome to pre-Shabbos inspiration and meditation. This week's Shabbat is the portion of Yitro, quite an important Shabbat, as we'll get to in a few minutes. So here in Sydney, it's been quite a week. Very disturbing video that surfaced, as everyone knows, from two health workers that were extremely disturbing and anti-Semitic and really low. I think people didn't expect it coming from that space, and really quite unsettling. But as everything else, we don't give up. We are proud, we are strong, and we continue to become stronger and grow. And I think just a perspective on that can be very much taken from yesterday. Yesterday was Tu Bishvat. It was the 15th of Shvat, where we celebrate the Rosh Hashanah, the new year of trees. And we know that the Talmud tells us that human beings are compared to trees. We are like trees, and there's so much in a tree that we can learn from. The one is continuous growth. When a tree stops growing, it's a problem. It means it's on the way out, but the tree gets stronger and gets grow. But one of the reasons that it does that is because when a tree grows, it is often under threat. There can be strong winds, there can be different things that can happen in the environment that could certainly threaten the tree. One of the things we all know, this is spoken about in Pirkei Avot as well, the ethics of the fathers, one of the things that enables a tree to stand strong and not be affected by all these other outside threats and distractions and elements is the fact that it has strong roots. Now, when you look at a tree has many things, but you don't see the roots. There are leaves, there are branches, there are fruits, hopefully, there's flowers, there's buddings, there's all kinds of different things that you see in a tree, but you don't see the roots. Yet the roots is what keeps the strength of the tree. The roots are beneath the surface. And in fact, sometimes beneath the surface in a very broad way, they actually can spread quite widely and quite strongly. And the commentaries tell us that the different parts of the tree represents the different parts of the human experience, and roots represent emunah. Roots represent faith. Faith is something very deep. Faith in God, trust in God, emunah bitachon, is something very deep. It's something that is not always on the surface. It's deep in our soul. We don't think about necessarily consciously emunah all day, because we are doing things, we are accomplishing, we are achieving, we're doing mitzvot, we're doing good things, and it doesn't always it's not always that obvious to the observer. What's obvious to someone around us is what we are doing and how we're relating to them, and the kindness that we're doing, and so on. But the roots are very deep, and the roots are what keeps the tree strong. And it's times like this that we have to remember that we are trees. We have to keep growing. We have to stand tall and proud like a tall tree. But also we have to reconnect to our roots. We have to go deep into our emunah, go deep into our faith, our strength, our resilience, our godliness that's inside of us, so that we become even stronger, that nothing on the outside, no matter how disturbing it might be, can affect us and can move us and distract us. So I just want to share an idea, first of all, that's on this week's Torah portion. And that's, I just heard it this week. I thought it was a beautiful idea. This week's Torah portion is Yitro. It's the father-in-law of Moses, who was a convert, essentially. He was a priest in Midian. He was an idol worshiper, a pagan worshiper previously, but he transformed and he joined the Jewish people. And the Torah tells us that he arrived. He came with his daughter, who was Moshe Rabbeinu's wife, who had been separated from Moshe because when Moses was in Midian and he went down to Egypt, he left his wife in Midian and his two children, so they shouldn't become part of the hardship of Egypt. And he came to Moses, and he had heard that the Jewish people had been redeemed from Egypt, the miracles that had happened to them. And he sat down with Moses, and Moses told him everything that had took place, all the details, all the amazing miracles, the plagues, the splitting of the sea, the redemption, the giving of the Torah that happened on Mount Sinai, whatever had to be told to Yitro was told to him. And Yitro then proclaims and he says, Baruch Hashem. You know, we have that phrase we use today, Baruch Hashem. You ask someone how you are, Baruch Hashem, thank God, and so on. He says, Baruch Hashem, blessed be God, that he had saved you from the clutches of Pharaoh, the clutches of Mitzrayim, and so on. And our rabbis, the Talmud, talks in glowing terms about Yitro, as if Yitro was the first one to express this thanks to God. He was the first one to praise God for kindness, first one to be grateful and acknowledge the miracles of God. And of course, it is true that Yitro was the first one to use the phrase Baruch Hashem, but he certainly wasn't the first one to thank God. In fact, when he came to the Jewish people and he joined them in the desert, just not so long before that was the story of the splitting of the sea when the Jews were trapped at the ocean. And as they were being pursued by Pharaoh and his army, God split the sea, and they were able to walk through the sea unharmed. And what did the Jewish people do as they came out of the sea and they saw that the Egyptian army had been destroyed and they were actually alive and they had been properly saved and finally completely saved? They sang Shirah, they sang a song. We spoke about this last week. They actually sang a song of thanks and gratitude to God. So why do we make such a big fuss that the concept that God, that Yitro was the first one to say Baruch Hashem and he thanked God? I mean, the Jews have just done that collectively, that sang a song to God. And I heard a beautiful idea in the name of the Chatam Sofer, one of the great pre-war Hungarian sages. And he said the following. He said, the difference is this: everyone else that we read in the Torah that had thanked God for his kindness, they were thanking God for kindness that had been done to them. Yitro was the first one to proclaim Baruch Hashem for kindness that had been done to someone else. Beautiful. Done to someone else. That's the greatness. Greatness is to feel happy for others, to celebrate the success of others, to celebrate the blessings of others, to celebrate the successes, the salvations, the healing, whatever the case is, to really celebrate good that it has happened, not to us, but to someone else, to the point of proclaiming Baruch Hashem. When you say Baruch Hashem, that person is doing better. Baruch Hashem is being healed. Baruch Hashem is doing well. That was Yisra, that was the lesson that Yitro taught us. So I wanted to share that with you with something I learned this week, and it's just beautiful. Now, talking about Shabbat, of course, this is a pre-Shabbat segment. Of course, this is amazingly connected to this week's Torah portion. First of all, this week we read about the defining moment of Jewish history, which was the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai, and in fact, and the revelation of the Ten Commandments. Now we know the Talmud tells us that the giving of the Torah took place on the day of Shabbat. In fact, in the Talmud, there's some dispute what date it was, whether it was the 6th or the 7th of Sivan, but it was certainly on Shabbat. And there's this intrinsic connection between the giving of the Torah and Shabbat. And I think the connection is fairly obvious, and that is, when we learn, when we understand, when we explore out the moral compass, when we get to the depth of the beauty of Torah, there's a certain clarity, there's a certain focus, there's a certain inner calmness, there's a certain direction that we know we have to take. We know we have to take going forward with clarity and with certainty. And what that brings is a certain calmness, a certain confidence. That is similar to the idea of Shabbat. Shabbat is when we stop and we state of being and we re-examine who we are. And therefore we examine not what we do, but why we do and what our moral clarity is and how everything fits into one orchestra and one tapestry of a general purpose and a general focus and a general direction. Also, that's the concept. That's why Shabbat is synonymous with minucha, with rest and with tranquility. And that's why Shabbat and Torah really are intrinsically connected, because they're both this concept of going deeper within ourselves, gaining clarity, understanding the direction, understanding the purpose and meaning for which we strive and work for in this world. And therefore, when everything falls into and is directed and guided by that system, by that value system, of course, the inner calmness and direction is much more calmer and much more regulated and much more sort of strong and not and calm without the inner conflict and the inner turmoil that sometimes happens when we pulled in different directions. But more specifically, the Ten Commandments, we have Zachor. Zachor et Yom HaShabbat. The mitzvah of Shabbat is given in the Ten Commandments. Remember the Shabbat and make it holy. And from there we learn, tells us the Talmud, we learn the mitzvah of Kiddush. The mitzvah of Kiddush is to sanctify Shabbat as it arrives, to recognize its holiness, to acknowledge its arrival, to connect to its energy, to its Kiddushah, by reciting the Kiddush. And of course, as we do it, as instituted and guided by the rabbis of the Talmud, we do it over a cup of wine. And that's how we fulfill this mitzvah of remember the Shabbat, acknowledge it, pinpoint it, think about it, be conscious of it. Maimonides has a very, very interesting take on this. We have a ritual that we do at the end of Shabbat called Havdalah. Havdalah is when we farewell the Shabbat and we talk about the separation. The word Havdalah means separation between the holiness of Shabbat and the mundaneness of the week. The Rambam says that when the Torah gave us the mitzvah of Zachor et Yom HaShabbat, to remember the Shabbat, right? To remember the Shabbat, included in that mitzvah was Havdalah, because he says what the Torah means is to remember the Shabbat as it arrives and when it goes away, to highlight the holiness of Shabbat as distinct from the week. And there's a whole halachic discussion around this and what the consequences are if Havdalah is a sort of a separate mitzvah or it's part of the mitzvah of Kiddush. But without going into the in-depth halachic analysis of that, there's also an important lesson here. That the idea of Shabbat actually is not that only it's limited to Shabbat, but of course the idea is to take the lessons, the energy, the holiness of Shabbat and bring it into the week. But that can only happen when we have moral clarity. And moral clarity means that we learn also to separate. We learn to identify what is good and what is different, what is holy and what is unholy, what belongs to the holiness of Shabbat and what is mundane. By extension, we learn also what is good and what is evil. There is wrong and right in the world. There is holy and unholy in the world. There is Shabbat and there's weekday. There's darkness and there's light. And part of the clarity that we need to have is to identify the two and separate between them. Even if afterwards the goal is one to influence the other, but it doesn't influence the other when it's conflated. So first of all, Shabbat has to be understood in its undiluted, essential, designated time before and after. Make Kiddush when it comes in, Havdalah when it comes out. We actually are pinpointing, we're able to highlight and preserve its sanctity as distinct from something that isn't Shabbat. That's such an important concept to know what is right and what is wrong, what is dark and what is light. We need that nowadays, particularly. We know that there's such a confusion in the world. When we do something, we have to do it with confidence that it's part of the right, not part of the wrong. And this might even extend to a war in Israel, God forbid, which we are fighting currently, knowing that it's a moral war because we have to fight evil. We have to know who is the wrong and who is the right. And that gives us our clarity, and that's the concept and the lesson behind Havdalah. Once we understand belongs to the realm of Shabbat or what isn't, we can then start to draw from the Shabbat and let it inspire and influence that which is outside Shabbat. It can inspire the way we do things in the weekday. But not if we make the equivalence between Shabbat and the weekday. The weekday has to understand it is not holy, it is mundane, and therefore it can surrender and take guidance and defer to the holiness of Shabbat. That happens by learning to separate. So, summarizing and sort of bring this to a close, we are in quite a time, we're going through quite an intense time in Jewish history. But part of what gets us through is clarity. Part of clarity is tapping to our emunah, our faith, the roots of our tree, being like a tree. Strengthening the foundations, digging deep within our soul, connecting to Shabbat and the Torah, which are both on the same day, to get that clarity, to get the inner calmness, to get that confidence of who we really are and what is our moral code. And of course, that happens by also understanding the distinction between darkness and light, wrong and right, holy and unholy, which is the mitzvah of the Ten Commandments, Zachor, remember the Shabbat, recognize its holiness when it comes in, farewell and separate between its holiness and the weekday when it goes out. So we have it on its pedestal, we have it in its entirety, we have it in its purity, and then we can start to take guidance from it and inspire the rest of our experience. Have a wonderful Shabbat, everyone, and Shabbat Shalom, and see you next week.